Hello, everyone. Welcome to this special quarantine edition of To Catch a Predator. I am your host, Dan.
Bam, if we made a podcast, we made a podcast.com to play with your boy.
See, we made a podcast also, the better half of we made a podcast.
Absolutely.
I'm Sean. That's it.
Just Sean, don't find him. Dan and Sean.
Please, I don't want anyone to find this and blackmail me with any of this information.
This isn't information, this is facts. This is Dan and Sean from Audio Face, and we're in Political Report number 3, quarantine edition. This is really hilarious. I have to thank y'all for coming together, joining us. We're going to do some yoga in a moment. Really work out the calisthenics. Caesar's like, I'm already done with this. All right.
You said calisthenics, that's too many letters for me. I'm out.
All right. Guess I don't teach that many letters in Hawaii. Anyway, so we're going to start kind of where we left off, which was like, we left off right as Hell World was just starting early in March. Like, there were no
lockdowns. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, like.
Did we talk about it at all on that?
Yeah, we talked about it because that was your joke about people getting their arms and coming up together.
Oh.
And yeah. So, we're in Mad Max season 3, I guess, right now.
Yeah.
This is a two-man race between Joe Biden and the person holding up Joe Biden's dead body. And
weekend at Biden's.
Absolutely. Usually we start with like a recap of what's happened from then to now, and really nothing has happened because coronavirus is like shut down and locked down everything, and everyone knows that because every podcast is coronavirus related. So we don't need to spend too much time on that part because I do want to talk about, we got a lot of topics today, including...
I feel like a lot's happened kind of on the low.
I know. I mean, like, we're going to talk about the coronavirus, more specifically Biden's role in it, Trump's role in it, playing his dumb responses to it. Please don't inject bleach if you do film it. And of some more talk about capitalism. We have some talk about people protesting these shelter-in-place orders. We have a little bit of Tara Reid. And in the Crook Club reading series, we have Michael Tracy's article on why Bernie didn't win.
Nice.
It's good to get some information from a guru like Michael Tracy, honestly. But let's jump in. Sarcasm, but... Absolutely, okay. Of course. Actually, this is an edition where, because of my recent change in employment, I'm able to say more about Michael Tracy than ever before. So...
spicy episode.
The Jimmy Dore will be its own episode. But now, then we will do Russiagate. We'll have the Russiagate conversation.
Oh, so we're not doing Russiagate. We're not doing Russiagate.
Bam wants to do it. That's all he wants is Russiagate.
Bam, if we have time, we'll stop by for ice cream before we get back home, okay? Do you like that? Does that work?
All right.
So, the coronavirus, COVID-19, SARS, COVE, whatever you want to call it, with whatever thing, it's a virus. It's bad. It has been, currently, as we're speaking right now, 200,000 people are dead worldwide. In the United States, it's what has been counted. So deaths that haven't been counted because people are dying at home. Also, cases where there aren't any tests, because we're speaking right now in pretty much the end of April, and there are no ubiquitous tests. Trump promised that Google was going to make a website for the United States in about a week from when he said it, which was like in mid-March.
Yeah,
saying that, you'll be able to go to this website, and you'll be able to find out tests, and you'll have drive-through screenings at McDonald's, and Walgreens. We don't have that.
Oh, God.
A wild statistic that I thought of was the amount of coronavirus deaths we've had in the U.S. is just about the soldiers that died in Vietnam.
Jesus Christ. We are having like several, like we're having like a 9/11 a day almost, as far as how many deaths are happening in the United States. Hoax, by the way, hoax, total hoax.
Democratic hoax. Get it right. Democratic hoax.
Democratic Chinese hoax. And there's actually a point to be made about China. That, because there's been an increase in like China related and like anti-Asian racism and bigotry that's gone.
Oh man.
On this, and it's every single level. It's like from the hood, where like any time where you're walking by someone Asian, you just like step back. It's almost like Asian people getting treated like black people all of a sudden. And then all the way up to the top echelons of power where like Donald Trump and Joe Biden are trying to out China hawk each other.
I haven't heard or seen anything about what Joe Biden said. I haven't been paying much attention to him, but I haven't heard him say anything.
He's run ads and stuff against Trump saying that he's tougher on China than Trump.
Yeah. The one that Sean was talking about that Joe Biden released was basically saying that Joe Biden was warning about the virus in the middle of whatever he was talking about during the Democratic debates. That's why we didn't know about the virus, because Joe Biden was trying to tell us the whole time, but we didn't pay attention to what he said during the debates.
I didn't know he's...
It was like, there's a Corona... Corona? Like a beer?
I'm out of time, I'm sorry. I would talk about the coronavirus, but I've gone over my time. But no, this advertisement is basically saying, if Joe Biden were president, he would have told the Chinese that he's going to send Americans into their country and it's their responsibility to get things. And it's like,
pay for it.
Wow.
Kind of like, it's the wrong fight to be having. Instead of accepting Trump's messaging and saying that China is responsible for the virus, batting that like a Democrat should and say, hey, look, viruses don't have politics. We got to do the best we can and hopefully like collaborate and work with the World Health Organization that he's trying to take to understand the virus better. No, Joe Biden's saying we should have been harder on China. If you elect someone like me, Joe Biden, I'm going to be harder on China than Trump was.
It just doesn't make sense to me, because I would think that your number one approach right now would be, okay, I want to do everything. I want to highlight everything that Trump did wrong during this entire situation since January, and then say that if a Democrat or myself would have been in office, this is the approach I would have took that kind of falls in line with what the rest of the global community has done. You want to emphasize that? No, I would have been done what Trump did, but what Trump did is nice, but I would have done it on steroids. That's what I would have done. Like, what the? I thought you were a Democrat, dude.
Well, I saw something recently, a lot come out about how much money Trump owes the Bank of China and like different things about his dealings in China. That doesn't necessarily relate to anything, but it's unfortunate that Biden is being more hawkish, because a lot of that hawkish narrative about China is coming from the right right now.
They're trying to outright each other.
And I would like it to stay there.
You want to have, when there's two big, basically, you know, the big political options that people choose, you want to have them, at least when it comes to like the war thing, to be like, okay, one is down, one is not really down.
Yeah,
like you don't want to have one is down and one's down even more.
Trump lied about
napalm one though, nuke. It's like pick your poison.
Trump lied about running as like anti-war, and it was a big lie, and against endless wars and stuff like that. But I mean, he showed his hand many times since then. But he still says the endless wars narrative, which some people fall for. But
100%, like,
but like,
exactly.
There's talking about China specifically. Like, I haven't heard him be hawkish about China right now, but I'm sure he has. I just haven't heard it. But like, Fox News is like pumping the anti-China warmongering China stuff really hard. So I really don't want like MSNBC or whoever else to be like trying to outdo the hawkishness with China more than Fox News, but I'm sure they will.
I'm gonna take a time code of you saying that right now, so that in a month from now when we do the next political report, I can play a clip of like Joy Reid talking about the China virus next to you saying, well, I hope MSNBC doesn't do this.
Make it side by side too.
Prediction I have, because of, you know, the amount of hawkishness that's going on in this country, is that we, like, because of the oil market and how it's like completely tanked, that we'll start a war or something with somebody to jack up oil prices. Like, there's some shit that was going down with Iranian boats where Trump was like, shoot them down or something, which first off, you don't shoot a boat down. But
shoot that boat out of the sky.
He was saying something like that. I'm like, well, that's probably just to get oil prices to go back up.
Yeah, and Venezuela too. They had like, there's some stuff going on there too.
So time code that, and if shit goes down, then told you so.
Jeez, as always, I hope that our most dire predictions aren't correct, but I mean, they tend to be. So it's been really disheartening to see this kind of back and forth over like Biden trying to out-hawk Trump, feeling that like, oh, the hawks are the center, because the people in the center, the voters that were these magical centrist voters that we're talking about, love the idea of going into another needless war. But no, there's an old clip of Joe Biden, because the only time you can get Joe Biden actually speaking his opinion is if you find old clips about him, because he's not saying anything now. He can't be found right now. But he was talking about in the late 1980s, 1990s, where all the good Joe Biden clips are. He was talking about Israel, and he was saying that it's important that we Joe Biden's talking about Americans, saying it's important that it's important that America has the existence. It's important that America has the existence of America would have created something like Israel in the Middle East to
That's a bar. That's true.
That is a bar. It's extremely true. They want their own proxy in the Middle East.
There is another Israel.
They want their own.
There is another Israel in the Middle East. It's called Saudi Arabia.
Deadass. But since Russia could failed to invade Afghanistan, we can do it better.
Yeah. Shout out to Osama bin Laden saying that Joe Biden doesn't have the Jews to be president way back in 2011.
Oh.
True crystallism move right there.
And speaking of Osama bin Laden, Ramadan Mubarak to everybody, too.
Yes, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. There's no relation to Hosni Mubarak, right?
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
I don't know.
Okay. So Dan, I'm looking at the notes that you sent. I mean, I know they're just kind of a summary, but it says Biden versus Trump on the coronavirus. I'll just say that.
Yeah. So that's one other thing I want to point out there before you finish your point is that Biden is also using. At one point, Biden said that Trump has been saying that we need to treat this virus like it's a war. And Biden's if Trump's trying to act like this is a war, he needs to act like a wartime president, which is the wrong messaging. It's what we're trying to get at. Don't accept the framing Trump is trying to say that this is a war, that we're fighting the invisible enemy. Say no, that's bullshit coming from a guy who bleaches his hair just as much as he bleaches his ass, apparently. And you don't want to actually listen to him and saying that this is going against the war.
So Biden versus Trump on the virus, I think it's impossible. I don't think anybody pays attention to what Joe Biden is doing or saying. I mean, I guess you see it here and there, Dan. I think you're more plugged in than all of us. But Trump is being it's unfathomable how terrible, honestly, it's just, I can't even imagine how ridiculous it just is to be present when somebody's saying hey, why don't you open up somebody's chest and shine a light in their lungs? hey, why don't you
glow stick enemas?
Yeah. come on, dude. There's no way anybody can be worse than Trump on this virus. There's no way.
And it's funny because in the video, everybody's showing the video of the doctor, kind of reacting a little bit. And it's I kind of was at first, I'm why didn't she go crazy? But then I thought about it. Imagine if you're in a super professional setting and then someone just starts saying stuff like that. I think in hindsight, you can go, man, I can't believe I didn't react. But even then live, you're probably just I don't think I really heard that. You're just oh,
yeah.
Okay. Later on, you're oh my God. did he talk about injecting bleach in people?
There's literally layers to this. What you're saying, the story we're talking about where Trump did a press conference where these tests where it seems ultraviolet light kills the virus. Disinfectant works really well. So I wonder if we can inject that into people's veins. This is middle school level stupidity. And the woman there, what you're getting at is yeah, there's a first pass of it, which is I don't believe what I'm hearing right now. I must have misheard you because it sounds fucking nuts. Pass number two is I value what I'm doing in my job as a rank and file part of government, but I am part of the healthcare infrastructure of the government. So I like my job. I like what I do. Do I want to keep this job and do I want to keep being influential?
Yeah.
If so, then I shut up and let the crazy guy say whatever he wants to. Because if I don't, I'm going to get fired and I'm just going to be replaced with a guy who goes, literally, glow stick enemas for everyone. We're doing this instead of healthcare now.
Going to get fired and going to get death threats from his followers.
It's really crazy because, it's people say, he said, so he quoted himself saying, oh, I was being sarcastic. I wanted to see what the reporters would say. And then people are saying, oh, if you take that stuff seriously, like then you don't really understand like, oh, Trump and like what he's doing for this country. Literally the New York City Department of Health reported 30 cases of people drinking household cleaners in New York. Than a typical 18-hour period. Like, yeah.
No, 30 cases
in the last hour. Last
Hold on.
I'm so down.
Hold on. Let me, you know, sometimes I got to just back it up. Did you say 30,000 or 30? No,
30 cases.
In the last okay, I thought you said 30K, and I was like, oh my God.
Yo, 30,000. If 30,000 people start drinking bleach after that, I'd be like, I really don't even know this country anymore. I don't know where I live.
We all report our citizenship at that point. Just
so it probably is 30,000, but only 30 of them reported it or went to the hospital.
That's true. So wait a minute. Did those people literally drink bleach?
They said they said there's been different types of ingestions, swallowed, injected. Yeah, it's all, yeah. And it's not like I'm making this up. This is 1987. It's reported by the New York City Health Department. The commissioner to talk about this. Imagine the commissioner coming out saying, "Hey, please don't drink and ingest your Lysol sprays. Do not do that."
This never had to happen. Lysol issued a public statement. Clorox issued a public statement. It's like apparently it's like the press secretary. The press secretary. Every at all those places was like, wow, this is my job today.
I can't believe I'm typing this right now. It's like, imagine like you were typically telling like kids to get away from like putting childproof locks on things. They're gonna put adult-proof lock on fucking bleach sprays now too, because this is ridiculous.
That's the greatest thing. That's like the funniest Caesar ever
said. This is a reflection of the American educational system in a nutshell, right there.
I would agree with that in the sense that we don't teach like basic understanding. You know, America as a country that says like, oh, we're freedom to you and me. We're a very docile, like accepting authority kind of country. So like, literally, if the president says jump off a cliff, they say how high. If the president says drink bleach, y'all say how much. Like it's a certain number of people who are just.
I mean, I see it as a reflection. I mean, I know I always end up getting to this, but. This is a reflection of white privilege, dude. This is the dumbest person on earth, and he can literally be the president. Like, this guy gets to be the president, and he has zero qualification. He's the dumbest person literally in the whole country that has teeth. And, like, he's, like, gets to get up there and just say the most ridiculous things, whether people tried it or not. Like, anybody, like if any person trying to do anything, you got to fight tooth and nail. Like you got to try so hard. You got to do research. You got to be the best you can be. And because literally he's white and the money helps in his like stature, he's been popular for 30 something years, 40 years, that you can get up there and do whatever the hell you want.
It's I like you're bringing the power dynamic of it because he has not just the skin color that definitely like helps you through all the way, but like he's built all these business and power connections and political connections over time to the point where that have like you think Ben Shapiro wakes up every day and goes, yeah, I'm going to be defending the bleach drinking president today and I'm going to love it. No, he realizes that I'm going to defend the bleach drinking president today because the mouth breathers who listen to my podcast are then going to buy subscriptions because I agree with their drinking president, and then they're gonna drink and they're gonna drink bleach out of a liberal tears mug that I sell them from my website. Like what I'm saying is like there's a coalition of opportunistic people, part of the white power structure, who have decided that we are going to take advantage of the situation for money. But really fast, I want to get things back onto like the timeline of how this happened, because I think March 9th. Trump, like Twitter is not a thing people should pay attention to broadly, but like this is a Trump tweet that is now. Quote, so last year, 37,000 Americans died from the common flu. It averages between 27 and 70,000 per year. Nothing is shut down. Life and the economy go on. At this moment, there are 546 cases of coronavirus with 22 deaths. Think about that. That was on March 9th. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, we are now at 50,000 dead in America and 200,000 dead worldwide. These are all understatements because, like I said, even the smart people with all the smart numbers aren't doing a census and going to every single door and dead bodies that are in nursing homes. Unfortunately, people who are like alone and die of old age. And like this, it's way worse than we know it today. And we can look back and go, you shouldn't have acted that way. Like, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have been in that role. It's completely ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but the thing is too, like, we literally heard him say Democratic hoax and like media fake news. And then he just turned it around and started acting like it was serious. And then it's just like, he didn't say that. This is the same dude who was like, liberate Minnesota, liberate Virginia, like on all caps on Twitter. And then when the Georgia governor says, okay, we're going to open Georgia, he's like, no, don't do that. Like, so
he's not held accountable for what he says, which is,
you know, so it's like, and then, I mean, although I do think it's going to be bad in Georgia probably, but if it's not, he'll just be like, yeah, see, I was talking about liberating them anyway. You know, like
actually, yeah. And there's, to your point of like, there's this power structure. We're going to get a little bit later into the idea of like, why can't Trump do anything wrong? Cause this is a point you had. I'm not like in do anything wrong. I mean, like, why doesn't Trump get any kind of flack or like meaningful flack for the horrible things that he does? It seems like he could do no wrong in that way. And I have a counterpoint to a later story we have there, but
lovely.
But for now, I like one angle for that is right when Trump tweeted out liberate Minnesota, liberate all these other states, there are a bunch of AstroTurf like fake grassroots groups out in these places going like, okay, let's call up our local Tea Party, let's call up our local NRA, let's find some coach charter buses and let's get down to some city centers and start like honking horns. Like they were all like ready to deploy something stupid. And it's just like kind of the game we're dealing with here. And then when it comes to like actually making a dent in this, not just Trump, but everything that brought about Trump politically, we have to kind of look at how quickly they can mobilize. We get four times better than that.
You're telling me that those are the one protest that George Soros didn't set up?
Oh, wow. I think George Soros was involved in this too, but it was like a pass-through organization, you know? For tax purposes.
It's the one time he didn't fund the protest.
He
didn't pay them.
He was like, no, I'm okay.
Because I protested before. I'm still waiting for my Soros stimulus check, too.
Oh, my God. Really quick. So we're getting into crony capitalism now. We're talking about checks. This is the topic Sean brought up. I think it's really good.
Marxist
theme. Yeah. So in case you didn't understand, we're all modern monetary theorists now. The government money printer can indeed just go burr.
Money burr. No. Printer go burr.
And we can just print money and see what the fuck happens. It turns out that was okay all along. Yeah. Reparations will come in 2146, maybe.
I have so many things to say on this.
I would love to hear it, Sean.
I'm here. One of my things on this is, if anyone ever says in this country again that how are you going to pay for Medicare for all, how are you going to pay for free college, be like, money printer go burr. You just saw them pump out $5.4 trillion and just like whip it out, just no problem. And half of it, and most of it doesn't even go to ordinary man. The money is there if you really want it. It is, and it's easily attainable, but people want you to think that it's not. So it's there. We've seen it now. And then the other thing is the whole stimulus thing is, the amount of corruption in that, the main bill, that $5.4 trillion, like, it's ridiculous because Boeing got, what, I don't even know how many billions of dollars, and they just laid off 10% of their force right now.
Right. So just to add context to what you're saying, like, for the audience, the government decided was, okay, we need a bunch of coronavirus relief plans. They're going to be regular people who are out of work or out of a job, but they're also going to be companies who are struggling. And this is a Republican presidency, so of course they care about companies and corporations. So they decided to get a certain amount of money for small and medium-sized business. It was called the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP. Yeah. And basically, the government made it easier for banks to give out these really low interest, like easy to forgive like loans to small businesses. Small businesses would receive those loans on the condition that A, they're small and they really need them, and B, that they won't fire any workers. So coming back to what Sean was saying, large companies started getting these loans, and those large companies were laying off their workers anyways. So like,
yeah,
it gets to the corruption we're talking about.
There were no worker protections in that bill at all, really. And then the other thing is that there's so many stipends to the money that, like, I'm one person that's not getting the $1,200, even though my wages have been cut because of all this. Luckily, I still keep my job, but I'm definitely losing money from it. But then you give all of these corporations and people that don't need it the money, but then ordinary people like me have to jump through hoops to try and get it, which is bullshit. So
how dare you be ordinary? You should have been a corporation.
Right?
What's funny is that, like, I think it's annoying when you see, like, popular, like, these big political shows talking about how these small business loans are super easy to access and it's going to be available. The term I hate hearing the most is all, like, everyone is going to be able to, all the small businesses. I know from my firsthand experience, people who are applying for these and literally are either getting denied.
Yep.
Like, what's their qualifications? They're a small business, they're a small business. They're getting denied for these loans, or they're like getting put on these insane wait lists. Yeah. So, just because someone's getting put on a wait list doesn't mean they're getting access to the benefits. It's ridiculous right now.
One thing, too, is with conservatives, how they always say they want smaller government. Technically, a way to get smaller governments, if you just give it out to, if you make it easier for access to money instead of having to jump through all of these government hoops and stuff to get it out, to where that's one thing you can actually get in an agreement with a lot of libertarians and some people want to write with it. But
what I would pause on that is that this was seen to be like the small government solution, because the big government solution would be like the government decides that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to be giving out small business loans. This didn't happen here. What happened here was that the government decided to, in a similar way that, like, I don't want to give everyone like an economics lesson here, but like in a similar way that money just generally works, like the government works, or the Fed works with banks to provide them with more liquidity and more capital to give out these loans. So ultimately the banks are serving as like the middlemen in between these loans. And that's the part I want to get at, was because we live in a corporatocracy. We live in I don't want to use the phrase corporate socialism, because it's an easy heuristic, but it misses the idea of like corporate capitalism. But like, corporations are the vessels of how things get done. And corporations are just private bureaucracies. So papers get lost, things get undone. There's one there's one bank in Texas actually that was able to buy on paper, by having regular people fill out paper forms, they're able to get more small business loans than banks like Wells Fargo were, just because they were ahead of the game. It's just like, some of these companies are screwing around. And then Wells Fargo and these banks, not exactly Wells Fargo, but like these banks, JP Morgan for sure, are giving these huge, really easy loans to companies like Shake Shack, which if Shake Shack is too big to fail, then I give up on this country.
Yeah, there's another thing too, is with the whole stock market as well, because now it's really showing people what we've been saying all along, that the stock market is a reflection of corporations, not normal people. Because how many people how many millions of people are out of work right now, but the stock market is relatively stable compared to what it could be like completely just like ass fucked by it. But it's not, because a lot of that stimulus money is going to bail out corporations and stuff that would pump up the stock market, just pump up a dead horse. So it's one of the things that's one of my biggest statements with people, because I hate it when people say, oh, the economy is doing great, this and that. I'm like, that's the stock market. That's not the economy. They're two separate things.
Yeah, people literally don't know.
We're a country full of armchair financial experts who a country full of armchair politics experts. Hey, if you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. But like, we're a country of people who like, just like, we look at CNBC and we see that the Mad Money guy is like sweating and freaking out. So he's like, oh, I guess the economy is not.
Is it? And Mad Money is the same one who said bet on the housing market in 2008. Meanwhile,
bodied.
I think also did the first package make it so companies could not buy back their stocks?
No, they could still buy back.
So it was a stipulation that companies couldn't do stock buybacks. But I mean, like,
This
is America. Just because it's a rule doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
I know Boeing for sure did stock buybacks.
I'm sure it's capped, but it was nice to see that literature in there. I'm sure the Republicans had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Also, I know, like, Mitch McConnell said this, and there was some other Republican somebody, maybe a congressperson. they were talking about, obviously, Trump is like in a war with states with Democratic governors. And Mitch McConnell was like, well, you know, if those states are doing bad, they should just like think about filing for bankruptcy. And it wasn't Mitch McConnell, but it was this congressperson. It was on some, I just saw it on Twitter, and I can't remember where it was. I was trying to find it right now. But the person asked that congressperson who said the same thing, well, why don't you have that same idea for these corporations that like are getting money? And he didn't have anything to say. So it's like there's no ideology or like no sense to be made with those people. It's just we want the public's money. Like, we want it, and like that's it. And you can't have it. We want it.
Where are the rainy day funds for these companies? Yeah. Like where like
Something like that.
Yeah, if you're laid off, you're supposed to
save. Everyone fucking yells about.
If you're laid off, you're supposed to save 6 months of your salary so you can like be or like chill with it. And like some people did, and some people handled that financially responsible. It seems like no company in America did that. And maybe we should think about a country where not only can Americans not survive a $400 emergency, let alone a multi-trillion dollar pandemic, but it seems like most corporations can't go 1 month, like literally 1 month, without completely folding over. Which maybe means our economy is not that strong. If even our business,
but the thing is, I think those companies have the money. They just want more.
Oh, the large ones do. Yeah,
they just want more. They're just like, oh, you're gonna give us some money? Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah,
there's a great example of that is Boeing. In order to get their one of the things for. To get their stimulus money was the government said, hey, we would like to take a stake in your company for if we're giving you money, which is fine. But then the CEO of Boeing said, wait, no, if you're going to do that, we'll go somewhere else.
Sounds like communism to me.
Yeah.
They just said that we'll go somewhere else. That proves that they have the money that they have and they don't need all of this stuff.
Of course.
Fuck the shit. So that's
they're being purely corporate in the sense that like there is an opportunity to have more money. Forget the rules. There's an opportunity to have more money. Are we going to get that bread or are we not going to get that bread?
Exactly.
Yeah. So like, let me see. What else do I have down here? We touched on this a little bit, but I think we can touch on this tiny bit more. But like the people going out to protest the lockdown, the people who are kind of like just not taking it seriously in general. I mean, like I have a couple of friends who are just like acting like this is totally normal. And because they're like mid-20s and no prior health conditions and to any kind of restriction on their activities whatsoever, like they're not taking this seriously. They're just like kind of living the rest of their life as they would. But like you especially have there are protests in not just in these like middle states. It's in Michigan. Yeah. It's in California.
San Diego.
Down a street.
It's in Huntington Beach.
Yeah. It's crazy. I saw a meme that someone posted that was like, police brutality. The answer is always respect authority. Migrant detention centers. And the answer was always respect authority. And then it said, like, a shelter-in-place order to make sure that you avoid catching a highly contagious and deadly virus. And it's like, okay, no, the feds are going too far. We're being oppressed. Don't tread on me.
Exactly. I mean, it just shows that there's no, it's not about an ideology. It's not about anything. It's about, like, it's, you, in these situations, you see, like, you just see the inherent racism of this country. I hate to keep bringing it up, but it's like, you know that they're allowed to do, you already know why they're allowed to get away with that. You already know. Like, you already know.
They didn't get tickets or anything either.
Like, you already know what the rhetoric is going to be. If it was, if it's the Michael Brown or whatever protest, like, look at these hooligans and these thugs. But if it's them and they're armed to the teeth out there looking like a rap video, with AKs and goddamn, it looks like a Chief. It looks like a Chief Keef video on the streets. But it's like either don't even bring it up or like yeah, it's fine. You know, there's good people.
I mean, like the simple. Go ahead, Caesar.
It's just funny. Like yeah, these people are like standing at the steps of like government establishments and like standing outside of like small businesses, like demanding they're gonna work and you're not gonna stop me from working. But at the same time, it's like. I don't understand. Bam just said it himself. Like, he doesn't want to say exactly what people are. I mean, look at the makeup of the crowd. Just look at the makeup. I'm not even saying what it is. You can tell me what it is. Look at the makeup. It's looking like Dan's wall right now. So it's like, come on now.
And just, it's just like, people need to ask the question, why? Like, why?
Why? What?
To your question is, let's take two scenarios. Protests, and I'm only going to change a couple things about these scenarios. Protests, same amount of people, same graphic area, maybe in the middle of the country, so not like in the cities. Uh-huh. And all the protesters practice their Second Amendment rights, bringing guns. The only thing I'm going to change about the scenario is one set of the protesters are white and they're Tea Party patriots and they have the Don't Tread on Me snake. And the other set of them are black. And you got some like Muslim Brotherhood. You got some like Black Lives Matter. You got some Black Panthers.
Don't Tread on Me.
Yeah. And it, like, two political movements practicing the Second Amendment rights, keeping it peaceful, but like, you know, they're packing. It kind of like what Bam is saying. In one scenario, the police are just like, okay, just like stay, just chill. The other scenario, the police are like, hey, remember those tanks the U.S. Army sent us back in 2015? Dust those bitches off. We got some busting to do.
Like, yeah.
I mean, we've already seen this throughout the history of the country, too. Whenever you've had like a black protest and it's armed, any time it just gets thrown right away.
Yeah, it's Shay's Rebellion. It's not a protest.
Yeah.
Deadass. It's happened throughout the history of this country. It's not going to end anytime soon.
I guess we're going to talk about like why Trump gets away with everything later, and then I'll get back into that why thing.
So yes.
We don't have to get into
it. Really fast, I want to lighten things up before we go into something a little bit more heavy. Let's talk about the checks. Let's talk about the big stimulus checks. So the freedom stipends. I want to keep in mind a couple of caveats here. So other countries, like what's happening in Europe, they're also having shelter in place orders. They're also telling people to stay at home. Mm-hmm. But most of these countries are guaranteeing, like, the government will provide 70 to 80% of a person's salary, while it's like 20% of it, and they make it up. So like the companies aren't left out in the water paying salaries for like work they're not generating. Mm-hmm. And people can still like live and like not feel like they're going through an emergency. By the way, most of these countries have health insurance. Imagine getting like COVID-19 and they have to intubate you and you survive and you recover and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but you're uninsured. Like, imagine all that stuff and all those experimental drugs and things. So like there's all these costs that are going on. And I do want to like make a caveat within my caveat that in the global South, there are countries where shelter in place actually means that food, like whatever Takis that Bam is eating, actually can't get to different villages. By telling people in sub-Saharan Africa to shelter in place, you're telling some people to like not go get food or not go get drinking water. And so it's not happening there, so we might see bigger things happen there. India, for example, they have a nice healthcare system, but they also have a billion people who are out in the middle of nowhere. People were told to shelter in place, and they're like, okay, time to walk 3 weeks away from the main city back to my village down to shelter in place where I don't have any water, electricity, or internet or anything. So I say that all the caveat that other countries have a lot to handle when it comes to handling this virus, but their governments are kind of handling it. In Europe, where you have a lot more resources, the governments are handling it by trying to support what they're doing. In America, we're not saying that you get any kind of guaranteed support or like support over a long period of time, because that would make you a welfare queen. We're giving you a one-time payment of $1,200 that Steve Mnuchin said should be enough stretch liquidity to last people for about 10 months, 10 weeks or so. I believe he said 10 weeks. 10 months might have been something he said too, but he honestly thinks $1,200 will last the average American at least 10 weeks.
And also we get this virus, it gets to be politicized and like turned into like a political battle that is just so damn unnecessary and such a distraction. And like, that's the worst part about this to me. Like, it's like, yo, dude, like I got friends that live on the East Coast and stuff like that, like, it's bad in New York City right now. Like, it's bad.
Like, if you're saying that this is a war, then why don't you just make it like how any time it is during a major war and not make it politicized? If it's like a true thing, like you were saying.
Yeah, there's no reason. Why is it like, oh, these governors got to be nice to me? And like,
exactly.
Come on, dude. Like,
he's always fighting, as much as I don't like Newsom on many issues, he's always yelling at Newsom and this and that. And I'm like, he's actually doing a relatively decent job with California compared to other states. Because he's one of the first ones. He's like, okay, let's shut this shit down.
Trump, but he's not on the East Coast, so no attention is going to be paid to him. It's all about Cuomo.
Yeah. The thing is like,
Cuomo, don't stop.
There's a couple, I mean, what's really annoying is it's either people are super, like, anti how everything's going, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, America's a big country. There's 300 million people here, and we just, you know, we just weren't able to handle this correctly. Well, that's incumbent on the government that's running everything. If you have a president that shut down entire systems that were in place to manage these things, falls with them. We're paying this money to help fund the government, to help us keep going as a nation. And on the backside, they fumbled everywhere and gave us $1,200 to last fucking 10 weeks.
And how are we supposed to be the best in the world?
Looking at the numbers right now, New York has 282,000 confirmed cases. New York. The second in the nation is New Jersey at 100K. So all the, like, it takes three states combined just to equal that number below that. That's California included. So,
wow.
They're having crazy issues over there. I'm big stats forever.
538.
That's the dual monitor life.
See, you know, silver.
I just want to vote and link in the comment section. Follow my show. I'm the best.
Blue, no matter who.
So I just think that, like, I just think that everything is being, like, you talked about how India has a billion people, and they're talking about they at least have the infrastructure, they have it in place, but it's a billion people, and there's going to be areas where they're going to be affected harder just because of how they're able to move about and get resources in life. We kind of really don't have this issue in America. If we do, it's at a lot lower percentage than somewhere like India does, and yet we are handling it far worse than any of them combined.
Look at Europe too. Look how Europe is doing it, minus Italy. Most of the European countries have handled it relatively well. Like
Italy, the UK, and Spain are iffy, but like, yeah, mostly well.
Like Germany, yeah, Germany, some of those. Germany's doing ridiculously well. Sweden as well. So like,
show offs,
right? So with this one way to say how our healthcare system in here is so stupid that they have some form of a universal healthcare system, and they were able to put in place.
Even with our healthcare system being like just completely corporate and about like sucking the blood of the populace, something like this could have been handled better, I think, if we just had some people in the, like, it just, we don't have a, I mean, not everything gets done through the president, but it's not even like, it's also what he's saying. Like, you know, you like to say like, well, it's not about like his tweets and like the things he's saying in these press conferences. And it's not, it's about different policies. But it's also like, I think part of what we felt with this pandemic and with the shelter in place orders is like the energy of life is draining. You know, it's stressful. We're all paranoid to some degree. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't need the most powerful person in the world, like, making us more paranoid, like making us more stressed out. Like, it'd be nice to have somebody that could have bring a sense of solace to the people. They'd be like, okay, like, we're going to be all right, you know?
Two quick points. it's funny because, like, who would you guys say the countries that have handled this the worst, just besides America? Who do you think has handled this the worst?
The UK is pretty bad.
China. Okay. I mean, like, China? In ways, yeah.
China in ways, because their government did relatively what Trump did as well at first, where they were denying it. They constantly denied it and this and that, and they didn't take care of it at first. Now they're doing it well, but it took them, what, 3 months to figure it out until January, where they took restrictive measures and stuff, but that took 2.5-3 months.
Keep in mind, the original doctor who discovered the virus, the government was basically trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A coronavirus cannot happen in the Republic of China.
I would say the UK, from what we know, it seems like the UK and Italy, but I know like Ecuador, Oh, Brazil. Yeah, you're right.
Brazil is pretty bad.
Well, okay, but
order and progress. No order or progress.
I don't know how many. I don't know the numbers. Caesar, you can pull it up because you're big stat sees.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
There's a. I don't know the amount of cases and like how ten. I know like Ecuador. They're having there's bodies on the street.
For sure.
Iran also got hit really bad early, but they're starting to open stuff up now though. But like places that are not like, I mean,
Brazil as of April 23rd is 49,000 confirmed cases, 3K deaths.
Okay, but
thank you, Jamie.
So what? But I wonder, like, you know, places like Brazil, Iran, Ecuador, like these are countries that have, you know, levels of poverty that like Italy and the UK doesn't have. So like
the US, fuck.
What are you gonna say? Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing is like, and also like, what I don't like to always jump into like stats from like South America or just regions in general, like that don't have as better access to like healthcare systems and like I think just data acquisition and all that, because like we don't really know what's going on in some of these areas.
That's
true. 39,000, and some of these governments I feel like have a real big influence on what kind of data is released worldwide, because they care. Like someone like when they have a president like Brazil has a president like Bolsonaro, I feel like he has a heavy influence on what kind of data is released by that division. I mean, in 2 weeks he hired two directors or heads of their health administration. So if that tells you he doesn't have some kind of power on who's running their version of the CDC, then, you know, like, I don't know what does. So it's always like, oh, well, someone could look at that and be like, well, 39,000. I mean, numbers of 49,000 in Brazil, population 200 million, is the same as 39,000 in California, which is around 40 million. They're probably not doing as bad. We don't know that. You know, there's regions in Brazil that literally don't really get access to
anything. There's no access.
Yeah, it's interior, you know?
You're absolutely right. That's an excellent distinction to make, that A, the xenophobic like talking point that, oh, China is lying about their numbers. Yeah, breaking news. Everyone's lying about their numbers.
Everybody's lying. Everybody's capping.
Like, and it's happening at multiple levels, from like the top down, from like from the government level to there's a story where certain hospitals were hiring doctors who were making TikTok or Instagram videos describing like what was happening in there because the hospitals didn't want to scare people, essentially.
Yeah.
And so like. And like, let's say that we lived in a perfect society where every single government is acting in basically the Democratic Party's idea of the real world. But like, even if everything were working that well, we literally just don't have enough tests. The tests are not robust enough.
For sure.
And it's definitely going to be impacted, like Caesar was saying, in places that don't have good access to the basic necessities already. It's going to be harder for the tests to get there. And so the grim thing I've been telling everyone is that like any sort of number or report that you see from the coronavirus pandemic is a gross understatement. For sure. And it's actually worse.
Yeah. But thankfully none of us got sick. You know, thankfully all of us are doing well. Our family.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
Loved ones good.
I'm going to be 10% sick for the rest of my life. I just always have a cough.
This is right. This is true.
I mean, this is the best excuse to just like not see anyone, stay at home I've ever had. And I'm milking the shit out of it. Okay, so
you want a hermit crab? Good times.
So let's. Sorry, this is the last thing I want to say before we move on. The checks would. So some people got, and this is gonna make Sean really upset because I know the story behind this. Some people got the checks via direct deposit based on how you did your taxes. Like three, pay your taxes. But like the other way that people are getting it is by, if that doesn't work, because some people don't pay taxes every year for whatever reason, then you're going to be getting mailed a check. The delivery of that check is delayed because Trump wanted his name on the checks. You usually don't put political heads of state on these things. Usually it's someone from the United States Treasury, and that'll still happen.
Yeah, the U.S. Treasury.
But we live in 1984 world now, where like we had to spin this and say, no. Axios had a look at the stimulus checks, and the Treasury was saying that Donald Trump's name on the check is a security feature similar to quote was genuine security feature similar to watermarks and microprinting. So we've gone from like, we've gone in 3 months from Bernie Sanders as a socialist who wants to give everyone your money to put my name on the checks that we're sending to everyone, bitches.
That's like when George W. Bush was first president and he gave everybody $1,000 in 2000.
The thing to me that's like more like it's like his behavior is so staggering that like, you know, to me, I'm just appalled that no one ever just says, you know what, America has this big historical thing of like, oh, there's a dictator, we're going to go in there, we're going to sneak a disease and we're going to take him out of there and we're going to get him. Like, that's what America does. Like, if someone is a dictator, America gets up in there, messes everything up, cleans up and looks like the hero. Like, that's what they want to do. Down, we're solid. The thing is we have a president that literally had the nerve to say on a public live broadcast that he has the power to open up all the states. I'm like, well, buddy, like, first of all, like, no, you don't. Second of all, isn't that like what a dictator would say? Like, I have the power to run this, open this, close all these. And the states are like, no, you don't, man. Like, we open up when we want to. And literally that next day, California, and this is going back to Bama's earlier, like, we have a president that's like increasing like the fear. So Governor Newsom, the governor of Oregon and the governor of Washington were like, you know what, we're going to come together. We're just going to come up with, even though it's not time yet, we're going to see how it's going to be like when we open things back up. We're going to have a plan set up. That's the approach you need to have when things are going burning, the people are going crazy. You need to have, hey, like, things aren't good right now, but just know that we are focused on the future because eventually this will end and we're going to fix things. Not like, yeah, those checks going out, bring them all back and I want my name on them. I also read the tweet. Some people put bleach in your ears. Put some bleach in your ears. That'll clean it out real good. Like, what's happening out here, dude? Wait,
that doesn't work?
Is that what you're doing right now off camera? You're over
there. Bam got a funnel and everything just going like, yeah. All right, let's do it.
Some great value bleach.
Kroger bleach.
Getting that Tara Reid.
Market pantry bleach.
Thank you, Segway Bam, for moving us to the next part of this. Because that's the thing, is that while this is all going on, we are apparently having an election for president. And the awkward thing is the awkward thing is that one of the big running points against Donald Trump is his character. We all hate kind of how he is as a person, the way he's conducting himself and conducting the public's affairs during this crisis with our taxpayer money is obscene and abysmal. And we spent talking about that. But mainly the big thing that was supposed to disgust a lot of the college-educated white women that ended up voting for Trump in the first place was that he is a multiple-time sexual abuser and a sexual assaulter. And the Democrats had very few jobs this time, but their one job was to find someone who was going to be able to bring the country back to dignity and try not to, at the bare minimum, have a long history of disrespecting women's personal space. Enter Joe Biden. And so the interesting thing is that there have been... There's the stuff with, I like that Sean gets into the central pose on camera as we're talking about this.
Okay, shit, Sean turned
laid up, legs up there.
But the way that this is going now is that you have the allegations with Tara Reid against, I'm talking about something very serious, y'all.
I'm with it. This is the allegations
of Tara Reid, who was a former congressional, or like a Senate staffer for Joe Biden, mm-hmm. saying that when she was in the summer of like 1992, around that time, Joe Biden cornered her and penetrated her with his fingers and like tried to see like, oh, come on, I thought you liked me. That kind of thing was happening. And basically this was all talked about as January. So the theme of the show is basically we were living in a different parallel universe in January and we just like walked into it sometime in mid-February and it's just been weird ever since. But this was happening in January and people were saying, oh, wow, does Joe Biden have like a Me Too moment? Like, how are liberals and Democrats going to react to the fact? And they decided the DNC probably had a meeting and they're like, well, we have two issues on our hands, rape and socialism. Let's go with rape.
They've done it before. I'm sad that they're used to it.
It's abysmal. I heard a really good take. I heard a really good take that I think I agree with, is that Joe Biden killed Me Too. And I think Me Too was like a lot of stuff happened. Like the good parts of that, where we got Harvey Weinstein, we got Cosby, we got R. Kelly, and we got a change in the way I think people, men especially, see sexual harassment, sexual assault, sexual misconduct in all kinds and all fields. Mm-hmm. I wish it wasn't such a like thing that only media, and we looked at it in other aspects, because working class women of color, domestic workers, people in hospitals, people in grocery stores right now are oftentimes the victims of sexual misconduct, but we don't talk about that. Well, so it's like Me Too was degraded from that part too, but now you have the same political activists like Alyssa Milano and people who call themselves a staunch pro this, who are looking at these credible allegations against Joe Biden. I don't know. I don't care. There's actually someone on Twitter who even said, I need to read this tweet, Bam. I know you got thoughts. But it was someone who was replying to an article that The Intercept had. Ryan Grimm was able to track down a call to the Larry King live show on CNN back when he used to answer calls. Larry King answered a call from Tara Reid's mom. And Tara Reid's mom was saying, like, look, like my daughter doesn't want to talk about this because she got into an incident with a major senator or staffer in Congress, but she doesn't feel safe and all these things happening. So there's corroborating evidence for this that the Democratic Party has decided to get off the hook for. It's fascinating.
And you know Trump is going to run circles around Biden on this because he already did that with Hillary and Bill. Like, stuff against Bill with sexual harassment, so he has a field day with Biden on this.
Trump brought Bill Clinton's abusers to one of the like Bill Clinton's victims, alleged victims, to one of the debates.
Yeah,
exactly.
When he's going to go hard.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, I think I forgot. But okay, I was going to say about the Me Too thing. Like, I think part of it that happened is that it got so mainstream that like the media got it, and that just distorts everything. Like, when it becomes a mainstream media talking point, like, it's gonna be distorted no matter what. Because
I really have to ask this question, because this, it started in the media. I mean, like, the allegations that started in the media. So what do you mean by the media got it? Because the media brought it to light.
Yeah, which is a good thing, but then it just got so big that like it's automatically gonna become partisan. It's automatically gonna become like, It just gets into like a...
it became a pop culture issue as opposed to a story.
Instead of just like, we're talking about like men that are bullies and they're assaulting people because they think they can get away with it. Because I remember, because you were saying like, damn it, I kind of forgot what you said, but something came to mind when you said it. But there was a woman who was in the military, and I think she's in Congress or a something. And I want to say she was in Arizona, but she's a Republican. And she talked about how she was sexually assaulted in the military. And I want to say it was the Air Force. And I remember seeing that story, but it just never blew up. Because
Martha McSally.
Was that her name?
Yes. Okay. Senator Martha McSally of Arizona. I believe she's still there.
I'm kind of shocked to remember that. But that story goes away. You know, it's not like sexy enough. Oh, damn. But
we get what you mean.
Yeah. So like, it just like, that's the part about it, like with the Me Too movement that sucks. It's like, okay, well, these cases that are big, because when you talk about like the Me Too movement needs to be in like the US military. Like, that's where women are raped and assaulted the most, and the men get away with it. I've seen the documentary, I forgot the name of the documentary, I have it here, where it's like rampant in the US military. But that shit will there was a whole expose of those Marines that were like passing around women's nude pictures and like all this that got exposed. That stuff doesn't get any kind of play because it's not someone like Harvey Weinstein who you can be like, oh, look, he's friends with Oprah, he's friends with Hillary Clinton or R. Kelly or whoever.
The salaciousness of it. Like, it's exactly. Ultimately the Me Too movement loses a little bit of its like media luster, if you will, when you get into these cases of like, there was Martha McSally, and there was also Joni Ernst from Iowa, also a Republican woman who said she was sexually assaulted in college. But like, when we get to these cases outside of the media of sexual misconduct, like I said, where it's stories of folks who are hospitality workers,
yeah,
or in the military. Like, this isn't in the media. It becomes like a 60 minute story where it's like a news magazine clip where like Leslie Stoll talks about it for like 10 minutes and then it's like gone to the annals of history.
Yeah.
Like on Sunday nights.
They don't have the power and stuff or the influence of other people with it. So that's the problem with it.
Well, it's not salacious. Like, it's not, like, it's not juicy enough. And it's unfortunate because it makes it like, it ends up that, I think that aspect of it ends up getting to a point where it's like somebody like Joe Biden ends up getting like a pass from these people. Because like the whole movement got distorted in a way where it's like, we're not talking about the issue, we start talking about the people. You know what I mean?
Yes, I totally get that. Because if the Democrats were an issue-based kind of coalition, then if they were like ideologically consistent anywhere, probably seen legislation, I mean, at least attempted by the Democratic House to make sure that these like Me Too, things that came out of the Me Too movement are able to permeate throughout the rest of society, and that there are laws on the books that are harder to, for men, largely men, to evade. I don't want to erase male sexual assault survivors here, but like generally is the case. And so Democrats, elected Democrats, missed an opportunity to do that. And they also missed an opportunity to maybe elect someone who is, that doesn't have the stuff on their record. Even before then, Joe Biden is like awkward, touching
anti-Semitism.
God,
just don't forget that. Like, not only did the Democratic DNC not even address any of this and like about what's going on, Biden, we skimmed past it, but there was even a bigger discussion point on when the Elizabeth Warren situation having to do with Biden that he said. I mean, having to do with Bernie Sanders, where he might have said, I know it was hearsay apparently, well, between both of them, that about like, oh, like a woman can never be president. That is like the most wild thing ever that you could find on Bernie Sanders. But meanwhile, Bill Biden had someone allegedly accusing him of rape. Like, come on, dude. Like, where are our priorities landing here right now?
And a point to that, Caesar, because that's amazing. And I'm so glad you brought that up, is that, these Tara Reid allegations were bubbling up and certain publications were reporting them. I mean, The Intercept was really good with that. Ryan Grimm was excellent with that. There were
Democracy Now, Benjamin Dixon.
Shout out him. He also did a great job of talking about these things and giving it to light. And I think also what part of Me Too kind of distorted was the way that these things sort of develop. Because believe women doesn't mean the woman is automatically right 100% of the time. Mostly means hear the woman out first.
Yeah.
And that's what people were doing, was hear it out. And then there are other people who are saying, hey, these things about the story don't add up. I think it's a conspiracy theory. Oh, look, she worked for Warren, now she works for the Sanders campaign. And it's like, okay, well, those are smears that are the exact reason why women don't like to come forward about this really like intimate detail about their lives. But there's also a lot of counter evidence to say that, oh yeah, Tara Reid was definitely working in Biden's office at this time. Are all these people who she spoke to at the time who can corroborate this? Oh yeah, there's a Larry King interview where her mom calls in to allude to this fact without saying names. And what happens in this, Caesar, to get to your point? The Washington Post goes, you know, we examined the story, we looked at it, and we found that we couldn't like find enough substantiating evidence to prove it. The New York Times said that, and they got a lot of shit for this, they said that while we have a lot of these allegations here, it didn't seem to match up with, or there didn't seem to be a pattern of behavior with Joe Biden. And almost like a sentence later, even though Joe Biden has been known to get close to women and touch them and give them back rubs and breathing. So it's like double speak in one sentence.
Yeah.
Like, I hate to bring up like, oh, 1984, George Orwell knew everything, or like, oh, Noam Chomsky knew everything. But it's like, these are these things that are taught in these very simple books, take enough time to like read up on, and they're happening right before our eyes right now. And it's, I mean, that's, as someone who did a lot, I don't identify as a survivor personally, but like I did a lot of like sexual assault, like awareness and educational work in college, and the issue's very close to me. It is really fucking disappointing that the Democratic Party has decided that they care much more about electoral politics than they do about their values. And I think this is something I already accepted with economic issues, too, with social issues. But the Democrats are so quick to weaponize identity and identity politics, but they won't come and like stand. They won't stand with the same sort of fervor that they claim to when they're doing that. They'll throw around like, you're not being PC enough, you're not appealing to people of color enough, while they ignore and trash and avoid people of color. Like, they're saying, you're disrespecting women. A woman can be president. Okay, well, a person who raped women can be president, even in our party, as it seems like the Democratic Party narrative. So, like, this Tara Reid stuff, it's still, like, kind of percolating. It's happening. I think the time could, because either you, Bam, or Sean, who said it, like, Trump's going to bring it up again. Later this year, and it's going to be ridiculous. But like, this is why we said there's other options than Joe Biden, and there's other good options besides Joe Biden.
Well, I wonder. I mean, I'm actually not this cynical, but like, I wonder if we're in a bubble, and this is what America wants: is two pervy potential rapists, old dudes. Like, maybe
no, it's not what America wants. Is that America has just like said, what are other options? There are none. So like,
voted for Joe Biden. A lot of people voted for him.
Yeah, but we were talking about is that a lot of people voted for Joe Biden, not necessarily knowing all about Joe Biden. Like, Cease and I talked about this in the last episode. Like, people didn't know that Joe Biden was against Medicare for All.
Especially
because this Tara Reid stuff, we're definitely in a bubble in the sense that we even knew about it before February, because literally the media, the Washington Post said, we've been looking into this for months, which means you've been keeping it tight for months.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of that.
Democracy dies in the dark, guys.
Democracy dies with thunderous applause.
It's time for your question. But like, the reason why I wanted to put it here is because like, your premise of your question was that Trump can kind of get away with anything. It looks like Biden is getting away with everything too. I mean, Biden's getting away with being basically brain dead while campaigning for president. And the Democrats are like, again, we chose between socialist and rape. So like, the choice is built in.
A Jewish person and rape. I honestly think it's
funny how like with the Democrats, they would never ever say that he was Jewish either, because they're always like, we have the first black president, we could get the first woman president, never the first Jewish president. I've never heard that from them.
I literally would see them people with them debates. They say we have this many white people. Not saying Bernie Sanders isn't white, but I'm like, he's also Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
can we talk about that?
Can we talk about the significance of that during a presidency that's largely the most anti-Semitic?
It was a big deal that Kennedy was Catholic. That was a big deal. People were saying they won't elect a Catholic president.
Oh, those are the days.
Those are the days.
It's like, it turns out our president is paying off porn stars. Good.
Good movie one day.
But I think that part of the reason I haven't fleshed this out all the way, but I think part of the reason that Trump can get away with everything is that like there's a big right wing media conglomerate, whatever you want to call it. Like there's like the right wing media in America is huge. It's super influential. And even like the quote unquote lib media, whatever, it trends right.
Mm-hmm.
Even that is more right than like anything that any of us are talking about. And this is my conspiracy. This is my conspiracy theory right here.
Bam's one conspiracy.
Theory. I think that, I mean, not, it's not like I didn't invent it. I mean, I've heard people say it. And so, at this point, I kind of think it's true. I think that the like QAnon whole thing, like the conspiracy theories now, I think are being directed by Trump people. So like you even have that influence that's like all this media is like in a way helping Trump. So that's why he gets away with everything. The right-wing media is gonna lick his boots no matter what. The kind of centrist, quote unquote, left media is like, it trends right. And I think that's proven by like them, how they supported Joe Biden, who is a Republican. then you have like the conspiracy shit, which all, every single one of us knows people that are into conspiracy theories. We all know many people. Oh,
yes. Amazing.
and nowadays, because I remember like the conspiracy times, it was all anti-government. But now the conspiracy theory people are pro-Trump.
Yeah.
Like, they are actually, whether they know it or not, I think some of them don't realize it, but like now it's all like Trump is here to save us conspiracy theory people, which is insane to me.
It just doesn't make sense to me that you can be someone that thinks that there's some bigger thing going on, like, oh, like this is all happening and like there's this there's the government's full of lies, blah blah blah. But the person that you voted for and loved is literally the freaking president. It's not like hypocrisy. Like, how would like, oh, like for example, like the, of course, the 5G, all this stuff going on. Like these are all the same people that were like protesting, also protesting. Oh, like this is coronavirus is fake. China's just trying to get in our heads. They're trying to get in our heads. We're gonna go back to work, and all this. Yet like Trump, this. I'm like, that guy is literally the president of the country. It's not like he's like some local mayor representing you guys, like trying to rise up the troops, or he's doing these rallies at like barnyards, like we're gonna fight back this day. No, he's literally the president.
Caesar, he said deep state department, man. He's woke, man. He's woke. He said deep state department.
Okay. It's just the deep state. It's just
instead of Space Force, you should just made deep state department. That'd be kind of dope.
I want to know what you think about that.
No, I think you're pretty much sad too much of that. It's just that to say that it only helps to be a conspiracy theorist to say the government's against you for only a certain point. Mm-hmm. If you can take that narrative and say that Trump's going to be your big like conspiracy buster, he's going to tell us like where the aliens are. By the way, still haven't heard from him on that. And like he's going to tell us like, all the different. He's going to spell the government secrets. You only get to use that for about a year. Because you're running off of the idea, the way conspiracies work is based on the unknown.
Yeah.
So once a person's administration becomes knowable, there's a record and there's a history, you got to turn back to you got to recheck the conspiracy and go, okay, does this seem like the guy who's like telling us the secrets? But again, like that's the point you're saying is, we are trying to apply like normal scientific, non-bleach drinking, non-brain smoothening processes to conspiracy theories. And the people who fall for these conspiracy theories don't have mind patterns like that. They don't think like that. They're too busy eating chapstick.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, yo, oh, he's gonna reveal the elite ring of these people. And
the Fox and Friends.
Oprah got arrested and Ellen's got an ankle brace.
Yeah.
All that stuff is like, okay, but yo, like it didn't happen. It doesn't happen, but it's, I mean, I don't know, like obviously I can't prove it, but I just feel like it's so obvious that all of this stuff is being directed by him. And there's, I mean, not necessarily him, but like his people. And that shit is powerful. Conspiracy theories are powerful in this country, especially, which goes back to what I think Sean was saying, the lack of education. Like, there's not, mm-hmm. not a lot of government transparency. And then there's also like, you know, people just don't know history. People don't want to read books and stuff like that. So it's just easy to believe like whatever conspiracy theories come out.
Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, because with the education, I mean, look how much reform has been going on for our education system, even as late as the 90s. Like, there hasn't even been that much of a change to where there's a generational difference within education itself. So people are going to be more gullible in general, or more skeptical in general, and it's gotten worse. You talk to other people like my age and stuff who got a different education in a different country, they're like, why don't you guys do this as standard here but not in America? So there's a lot of different stuff.
People in other countries that are smart are way smarter than people that are smart in America.
It's like, it's not necessarily that, like, I don't know if the term the education system like is like bad here. I don't think that's the term really to use. I think it's like you Sean said, it's been poorly reformed. Just because you're adding iPads and new iMacs every year doesn't mean you're updating your actual like content that you have, the actual layout of the rubrics. Like,
but just because like, you're teaching like biochemical engineering and like physics in high school classes, making media literacy standard.
And then there's another thing, like my mom brought this part up, you know, Freedom Fighter Jean. She says, why on earth did you read the same books I read in the 60s and 70s? And like, there's a couple that are standard, like 1984 and some others that can be standard, but other books that, why there's so much other great literature that has been out in even this century to where, why aren't you reading those to what I read in the 70s? Like, what the hell? We aren't moving forward with it.
The most telling thing about this country, and it's something that's known around the world, as someone who's from another country is known about America. We know that you have access to so much more here than other countries. You can go in your high school class and go to surf in the morning, piano at night, and then do all this. But one thing you don't know is of the world. You don't know of countries. You don't know of cultures. Americans go... commonly travel to other countries and don't know anything. Ignorant. They don't know what's going on. They assume everything is supposed to be built and catered to them. And of course, that's largely me just stereotyping Americans. But if we're looking at how the world, America is being ran and what's going on, it's kind of hitting the point on, because I'm not seeing otherwise. I'm not seeing these people who are look at America and believe in these conspiracy theories and you're not telling me otherwise about how you're selecting your leaders, and you're not telling me otherwise about how you're treating other people when it comes to how the world is responding to this epidemic compared to us.
There's one last point I want to make, and then we can wrap things up a little bit, but it was kind of to Bam's original question, is like, how does Trump get away with everything? And how does that permeate, and how does it continue to happen? And I want to like reemphasize, oh Jesus, look at all this flaggage over here with Caesar. But no, what I want to reemphasize is I'm working on this video right now that is, I can't describe it easily. I'm not saying that God, I can't describe it because it's a secret, but it's like, it's difficult to create this theory out of thin air. And so it's kind of like the pipeline of how information makes it through the media. And it happened with this coronavirus thing where Donald Trump basically said that he like at one of the coronavirus like daily press briefings TV and said, this is everything I did to make sure that coronavirus didn't hit the country, and this is me acting ahead of the game and getting ahead of the game, so pay attention to this when the mainstream media is bullshitting you. And what he did was he pulled a clip that was taken from Sean Hannity's show the night before and added like title cards in between them, like in Windows Movie Maker for the dates.
Oh God, no.
And was just like, this is this date, this is what I said, this is this date, this is what I said. And so really fast, the whole thing was wrong. It was all bullshit. You could disprove it on Sean Hannity's show. You could disprove it what Trump is saying. The problem is Trump decided to do this during a press conference. So like MSNBC was carrying it and CNN was carrying it live, and they can write all the fun, snippy chyrons they want to. The fact that they've decided institutionally that he's the president, therefore we cover it. It's these very simple, nonsensical, like, there's money out there, therefore we as a corporation should get it. There's a socialist running, therefore we will choose the dementia head. Like literally they're just these dumb but very click on like things that are happening, and so the media will just spread the misinformation for him. They'll give him the most earned media possible, and so the reason why he gets away with it is because no one on CNN goes, all right, Donald Trump's giving a press conference, but it's full of crap, so what we're going to do is we're going to continue reporting the news, we're going to continue telling you the world. Our producers are going to give us information about what was said during that press conference and what was absolutely bullshit, so we don't end up killing people. Like, that's the way to do objective news, but we've decided that airing the speech will give better ratings. So that's how it goes.
Yep.
Let me just say I love Dan's videos, and I just want to give, I want to say that the one where you talked about, what's her name's Funky Weave, Candace Owens, that's still my favorite part. I literally laughed out loud. I'm like, this dude is wild. Like, I don't know if you can say that because you're Belgian, but
Sean, you had a point you wanted to get in there.
And I was gonna say with the media, two things. One, that's one thing I've been saying is, why don't you just live fact check him? Like you can fact check what he says. It's very simple to do that for the other mainstream media outlets. But the main thing with the mainstream media is that they are media conglomerates owned by certain companies and stuff, so they need to make a profit and shoot it out. And that's why the media is so corrupt here, because then again, like with Caesar being a multinational person, going to different news outlets and stuff and being multinational, all of us. I'm like, if you go to other news sites for other countries, they are like literally 10 minutes, like boom, 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 fact, like, and whatever it is, boom, no opinion pieces, nothing else, no bullshit, that's it. Like, I know how that's like a lot of European news countries, especially in Germany, it's like that. Just 10 minutes, this is what's going on, relatively. There you go, that's it, move on with your day. It doesn't have to be this whole giant thing just for ratings like it is in this country, because everything's bloody ratings for here. So that's one thing that I think.
Everything's for profit. Everything needs to be done for advertising. Everything's,
so that's one thing.
Not even a profit, it's like a massive profit. Like, it's not even.
Oh,
like,
it's absurd.
Somebody's got to be. Somebody's got to get eight figures there.
And the best thing, I mean, the best thing is with the Fox News hosts, they're always like, the elitist, this and that. I'm like, y'all are multimillionaires. Y'all are the elite. But no one ever calls them.
Worst paid Fox News host gets, worst paid Fox News personality gets at least $500,000 a year.
Why
because the contributor, because the contributors make $192K.
Why does
it, like, Bill O'Reilly, I'll make this point all the time. Bill O'Reilly got paid $20 million by Fox News to leave because he's doing too much sexual assault. And they're like, listen, we will pay more than your usual salary. Just go.
Please go.
And then Tucker Carlson gets on TV and talks about the media and the mainstream media. I'm like, dog, like, how can somebody take me? He is the media. Yeah. He's the most popular dude.
Right
now, president.
Exactly.
Fuck boy.
It's unreal. I fundamentally, this has been a good hour and a half almost, but I fundamentally don't have it in me to go through Michael Tracy's thing right now. We'll do Michael Tracy and Russiagate all.
Yes, next sure, month, of course.
In a future episode. Hey,
every year, every month.
We have to have something so that the audience wants to listen to the next episode. So on an episode that happens in the future, not saying it's the next one, but it will be one episode, we'll talk about Michael Tracy and Russiagate. And then Bam will finally get to. Bam will evolve as a Pokemon.
Sean, if you don't chill.
Sean doesn't know how to press a mute button.
Jesus Christ.
Those are his legs moving around when it's creaking. Just like.
Yeah, don't be cracking. Don't be cracking your toes next to the mic either.
At least we don't have this problem this time, unless he like moves his AirPods all the way up to his ears.
Whoa! What the like, hell? You can't be showing feet on stream. I'm reporting.
I'm about to leave. What the hell okay. was that?
Sorry, I'm sitting. What's the politically?
How are you that flexible? I'm a Twitch affiliate. Watch yourself, sir. Jeff Bezos pays me.
I'm uncomfortable with this.
Okay. If we're proud of this podcast, I can promote it. Thank you very much for listening to the Political Report. We'll name this at some point, just like we'll talk about Russia at some point. You can find us in our normal settings. If you're here, you're listening to Audio Face, continue subscribing. Rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, whatever, new episodes every week. If you're listening to Bam and Caesar, check out We Made It Podcast anywhere you can listen to podcasts. If you're listening to this, you'll be able to find We Made It Podcast. Search it up. I can't find your Twitter anymore. That's really interesting. But y'all are on Instagram. We Made It C's also streaming. Oh, look at that. He's got a hat. Wow. Sean, you see that? We messed up.
It's exclusive merch right there.
Patreon only.
Sean has died.
No, after Dan's incident, I don't want to be on camera anymore.
Sean.exe stopped responding. I don't know. We're all cap on this part.
Right? Oh yeah. This is
check out We Made It Steve streaming on Twitch, doing it big. Really
interesting Twitch thing today.
I mean, I don't know when this podcast is going to go up, so I'm not going to even talk about it.
Personally.
Yes, I am doing a Twitch thing. Let me finish the podcast first. thank you for listening and watching, and we'll be back probably in a month or so with more.
Oh, man. Come on, let's do this more often. I like this.
It's fun.